Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verses 1 through 7, and then we'll read a few verses later in the chapter. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and we'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Now turn to the same chapter. We're going to read verses 28 through 30 together. And again, I'll read verse 28. You read with me on verses 29 and 30. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for the buildings. But most of all, thank you for your people. Thank you that we have this place. And thank you for the man of God that you've given us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. God, we stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. We've got to have the truth from your word to change our lives so we could help others along the way. Now please use our preacher. May our minds and our hearts be focused on you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this morning is taken from a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most who've been around church much have heard the story of the lady at Sychar's well over and over again. Recently, I was reading that story. I glanced at it like we all would. I seen what we usually saw. And then something in the passage kind of jumped out at me, and I thought, boy, I'd never really noticed that before. I hope that you too will be refreshed and helped by what I see and what I describe to you today. The Bible says in John 4:28 and 29, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Look back at me, if you will. Jesus comes to Sychar's well. He meets a woman of Samaria there. When his disciples see him talking to her, they're a little bit amazed. And the reason for that is because the Samaritans and the Jews had little to do with each other. So it was odd that Jesus was conversing with this lady. Jesus speaks to the lady of living water. Now remember, she's at a well. She's drawing water. And Jesus begins to have a conversation with her about the living water. You say the living water. He's speaking of himself. He's speaking of that salvation that he would make available to her. And he says to her, Ma'am, I know you're here to get water, but I could give you some water to drink. And if you drank of it, you would never thirst again. And she said, I'd like to have a drink of that water. She trusts Christ. She gets saved. He was the living water. Now, odd thing about this story, this woman of Samaria, she had five husbands and was living far from moral respectability. She was living with the man that she was with at the time. She was probably the last person in Sychar that we would have picked to become a successful church worker. But Jesus picks her out in a matter of just a few minutes. She goes from being the outcast in the village to becoming the village soul winner and one of the best church workers in town. In one conversation. What a change. I'll tell you what. Jesus knows how to pick them.
Yes, sir.
Who would have thought the old maniac of Gadara would have turned his town upside down for Jesus? But he did. We see there here that this lady gets saved. Then Jesus, having won her confidence, she immediately makes the decision after salvation. She's going to get involved and she is going to influence somebody. Now, remember, she had come to the well to get water. She had with her her water pots. They would have looked much like this. She would have come to get water so she could take it back to her dwelling. The scripture makes a wonderful statement here. The lady comes to the well. She's got her water pot, maybe one, maybe two, maybe I don't know how many she had with her. It couldn't have been more than two. I don't think she could have carried them. There she is. She's at the well. She begins to talk to Jesus. Before long, she finds herself no longer concerned about that H2O, but she had taken a drink of the water to which he promised she would never thirst again. And the scripture makes a wonderful statement. It says that the woman then left her water pot and went into town. Now, I believe everything God puts in the Bible, he puts in it for a reason. She left her water pots behind. I think there's more to that statement than what meets the eye. She goes away from that well empty-handed, but her heart's full. She goes and makes a difference. So she, picture it now, she goes to the city. She's trusted Christ. She leaves her water pots. She runs to the city and she goes to tell everybody about her salvation experience. I wonder if while she's heading back into town, she did not see some folks that knew that she had gone out to the well. I wonder if someone said, hey, you went to the well to get water. Where are your water pots? I wonder if she got home and the people for whom she was fetching the water didn't say, hey, where's the water pots? You left your water pots behind. But I'll tell you this, she was so interested in sharing what she had learned at the well, she left her water pots behind. Her testimony when she gets to town is so powerful. The Bible says that the whole city comes out to meet this Jesus. There at the well, set her water pots when the people come out. They gathered around and I'm sure she said, there he is. There's the one. That's the one. He made a difference. He saved me. I'm going to heaven. And I'm sure some looked over and said, right there. Did she come into town all excited, forgot to bring her water pots back home? There they sat on the side of the well. She'd ran off and left her water pots behind. You say, why? Because suddenly she had something bigger and better on her mind than those water pots. I think maybe one reason her testimony was so influential is the sacrifice of leaving behind those water pots and what they signified. You see, God takes and for some reason he points out to you and I that when she got saved, she forsook her water pots and ran to town. Now, God doesn't just put something in the Bible because he had some space he needed to fill up with a few words. God does not write in the Bible and just throw some things in there because he thought, well, that'll be entertaining. Every word in this book was put in this book for a reason. That's why we shouldn't tamper with it. We shouldn't take words away from it or add words to it. God wrote what he meant what he wrote, and he put that in there. And I'm glad I looked at that and I was reading along and I seen where it said, it says, the woman then left her water pot. I'd looked this story over and over again, and it had never occurred to me that God, for a reason, was saying to us, she went off after salvation and left the water pot behind. Today, I want to preach a sermon to you that I have called Forsaken Water Pots. Forsaken water pots. What's the big deal about leaving these water pots behind? What's the big deal about the water pots being left at the well? She took them out. They were empty. She was going to get water. She comes back. And after salvation, she left the water pots behind. What's the big deal? Well, first of all, may I say, I think these water pots teach us the story of she chose others over herself. We see here in the forsaking of the water pots, she is choosing to go help others over herself. She goes to help some other people. Hey, water is very important to the body. Water is very important to our life. And the fact that she is forsaking the water pots and she runs off to go help somebody else. Hey, you can tell she got a dose of salvation, because the minute you get saved, you begin to realize there's somebody more in life than just me. Mine. My. What about me? She suddenly realized, hey, I'm excited about going and helping someone else. She walks away from her personal thirsts and she goes to help somebody else. Now, folks, you and I, we have the ready availability of water to quench our thirst at any moment. In this situation, there was one well for maybe an entire city, maybe even an entire county. And to go and get water was not as easy as just flipping on a switch. There's far more to it. Let me say that I believe that she got this taste of salvation and became familiar with Jesus, and she got so excited. She left the water pot. She ran into town. She had taken her eyes off of herself and put her eyes on somebody else. She took her eyes off of those water pots, and those water pots pictured what she was going to do for her. It pictured how she was going to satisfy her fleshly need, how she was going to take care of herself, how she was going to do something to make herself feel good. But salvation, folks, will get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on the fact that other people need something. She turns from her self-centered ways to others-centered ways. And I have to tell you this. Any woman who had been married to five husbands had definitely had some stinginess issues somewhere along the way. Say, well, it could have been the man. Well, after five of them, she wasn't real bright on how to choose them then, was she? When she left her water pots, she was suddenly doing what's best for others. Others. That's what Christianity will do for us. Others. Many of you, when you got saved and you first got into church, you suddenly realized that life's not all about you. You began to turn to help others and reach others and try to help meet the needs of others. Some of you, you've been at it a while now. I bet you went back and picked up your water pots. You're carrying them around and your life's all about you again, isn't it? Some of you may need to go back to where you met Jesus and put your water pots down and walk off and leave them again. Salvation changed her focus. Someone else had become her cause. She exchanged a physical thirst or a physical fulfillment for some spiritual refreshment. And let me tell you something. I'll promise you this. I'll promise you there is no fulfillment that you chase after that is a self-fulfillment. Hey, you say, I'm going to go out in the world. I want to get high. I want to get drunk. Hey, that'll really cause me to have a thrill. Nothing in the world is a greater thrill than serving God and going out and doing something for somebody else. And with the thrill of doing things for others, you don't wake up with a hangover the next morning or a marred reputation. Can you picture it, though? Can you picture her attitude before her at the well experience? Picture the walk. She probably had one of these on her shoulder. She might have put one on top of her head. Thus, why women have flat heads. She was carrying those things. She probably on the way out to the well. Oh, it's hot. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, this well, so far away from town. Oh, this road is unpaved. Oh, I'll tell you something. When you have your eyes on you, all you do is complain about everything that's affecting you. Complain, complain, complain. You know, some of you used to be soul winners. Now you're not. So now all you do is complain. You have taken energy that used to be given for others. Now you use it just to gripe. I see it happen to people all the time. Folks that used to go out and their concern was feeding the hungry and reaching someone for a bus route or reaching someone in a Sunday school class, going out and saving the lost and going out and reaching family and getting them into church. And what have we done? We left our water pots behind. We ran out just like this woman and we started reaching people and we got our eyes off of ourselves. Let me tell you something. While you're busy reaching other people, the little bumps and the little irritations and aggravations of life, they don't bother you so much because you're just so busy reaching other people and you're thinking, you know what? I'm running into town to reach a bunch of people. The fact that this road's not paved the way I like it and the fact that it's just too hot and it's uncomfortable, that doesn't really bother me because I'm not all about me. I'm going to pay a price and I'm willing to sacrifice to go reach somebody else. What happens though if the focus is taken off of others and off of the cause of Christ and off of reaching and meeting the needs of others. And when we put the focus back on me, 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 all of a sudden we're back on the road. Oh, these are so heavy. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, I can't take it. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, I don't like the road. Oh, I don't like the people on the road. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, it's so terrible. Put your water pots back on the well. Run into town and go help somebody. And you'll stop being so self-centered. Just think about it. When's the last time you won someone to Jesus Christ? Some of you used to be the lady at the well. You left your water pots behind. You ran into town. You were running to go and make a difference for somebody else. But you stopped that. Now you find yourself, everything irritates you now. Everything. Wonder what happened. You see, she chose others over herself. Secondly, when I looked at this story of the forsaken water pots, I seen this. I seen that she sacrificed immediately for the cause of Christ. She left her water pots. Now, folks, do you have any idea how valuable a water pot was to these kind of people? See, they had no indoor water. They couldn't go and turn the faucet on. There was not an H and a C for hot and cold. They had no garden hose. They had no bottled water. They couldn't go pop open a plastic bottle and down a 16-ounce cold water. They could not go to the refrigerator door. I remember when it came out that you could go to your refrigerator door and push a little button and water would come right out your refrigerator door. Couldn't pick the ice selection between cubed and crushed. I know how bad we have it in America today. Oh, are we going to make it? That was not her choice. Those water pots, they were valuable. You do understand if you had a pot in which you would retrieve water and you had to walk a mile or two to get it and you had to do it every day of your life, you'd be wanting to hold on to your canteen. To walk away and leave her water pots was to leave behind something extremely valuable. They had monetary value. It was like the canteen for the desert. There was and to her, there was a physical value. Let's face it, you have to have water to stay alive. We've got to have water. You've got to have that water. It's a part of life. And she was, do you understand? There's a signification here. There's something going on here. She is walking away and leaving those pots behind. When she found salvation, she found something more valuable than those water pots. I think to her, when she realized God saved her and God and something was about to happen in her life, I don't know that she even really considered it much sacrifice to walk away from those water pots. But she did walk away, and you and I would look at this thing and say, look at what she sacrificed. She just walked away from her water pots. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to walk away from something for God? What is it that God needs you to walk away from, sacrifice, leave behind, turn your back on it, and walk away from it? So you go help reach people for Jesus Christ. See, that getting the word out about Jesus was more important to her than her comfort. Reaching her city was worth sacrifice. Who knows, but maybe these water pots were the most valuable things a woman owned. I don't know where she was rich. I don't know that she had too much more. But she left it behind. She sacrificed and she said, I'm willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. You know, we'll all have to learn something. To truly accomplish some things for God, there will be sacrifice involved. That's all there is to it. You know, God doesn't always allow us in Christianity to, as the old saying goes, have your cake and eat it. Oh, brother Owens, I really want God to use me, and I really want to use my life down here on earth, and I realize I'm going to only live down here for 70, 80, 90 years, and I want to really be used by God, but I do want to live in a mansion, I do want to have some exquisite cars, and I do want to have a lot of money, and I do want to have, 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 and I want to be used of God. I'm very sorry, folks. It does not always pan out that way. She left something valuable behind because she was choosing the life to come over the life of now. And she realized, she really believed that we're only going to walk down here for 60, 70 or 80 years. And one of these days I'll be walking on the streets of glory. And anything I give up down here will meet me in glory. And I'm willing to sacrifice my water pots. The Christians of America are willing to serve God as long as it is convenient and it fits into their 401k plan. She put those water pots aside and said, I'm going to make a difference in my city. Jesus said to some men, you've heard the story. He said, men, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, do you understand what that really meant? Some of them were leaving home. They were giving up their homes, their houses. Some of them were leaving their boats behind. Some of them were leaving family. There was sacrifice involved. And this woman, she said to herself, I see something that's bigger than me. I'm going to get my eyes off myself. I'm going to get my eyes on somebody else. Folks, let me tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, I find myself irritated with people. Well, I'll guarantee you, not as half as irritated as I find myself with people. You don't know the half. You say, why don't you kill them? I am so busy trying to help people, I don't have time to kill them. That helps some of you. If you were so busy helping people, you would understand the very thing that irritates you about people shows how much people need your help. Leave your water pot, leave your stinginess behind and get your eyes off yourself and realize there's a lost and dying world out there. There are people that have not had the training and the love and the attention that you have had. You say, somebody let me down, somebody disappointed me. Yes, I know. But if you're not careful, all you'll do is stand there at the well with your water pot and somebody else will go off and make a difference in this world and you'll just stand there with your water pot. I like this. She did what was hard. In church Sunday, I overheard a little lady in the pew next to me saying a short and private prayer. It was so sweet and sincere that I just had to share it. She said, Dear Lord, it's been a rough 12 months. You've taken to heaven my favorite pet, Fluffy the cat. You've taken to heaven my favorite aunt, Aunt Bessie. And you've taken to heaven my favorite uncle, Uncle Bud. And Father, I just wanted you to know my favorite president is in the White House. A going through the tough times in life. I'll tell you, when I read this story of the woman at the well, I had read it over and over again. Never had it occurred to me that God had placed that little statement that she left her water pots. Never did it occur to me that God was saying something more than what was occurring to my mind. I'll tell you why she left those water pots behind. It's very obvious. She suddenly got her eyes off of herself and on to other people. She suddenly began to realize, hey, this thing of serving God, it is worth sacrifice. It is worth my investment. It is worth me giving up something so that I could go out and help other people. But not only that, I see here that she actually put service to God above even some of her routine chores of life. You know, everybody had to go and retrieve water routinely. There was no refrigeration. And that meant water had to be received from the well. And then the water that was received from the well could go stagnant. This wasn't a type of geography that it was cool and pleasant all the time. It would get very, very hot there. That means you go and you get fresh water. It's fresh for a while. No refrigeration. That water is going to go stagnant. That water is going to go bad. It had to be replenished. Sometimes they would have to go and get fresh water from the well, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times in a day, not knowing what the temperature would be like. Maybe three times a day she would have to take those water pots down. They would take shifts. Sometimes one in the family would go fill the water pot. Sometimes maybe later in the day somebody else would go fill the water pot. Now let me explain. She realized she had daily duties and daily chores, but she also realized there was something pretty big going on, and she realized that this may be that moment where I need to set aside something that's in my daily routine and my daily schedule, and I need to take the time to do something for Jesus Christ. She felt to get the gospel out was more important than her daily chore of gathering water. And folks, we all need to learn that whatever Jesus needs of us is more important than what we want to do for ourselves. Whatever Jesus needs of us is more important. Hey, sometimes then it's more important than our plan for the day. Folks, I'd recommend this. I'm one that believes in living by schedule. I think there are people in here that you could do twice as much in life if you just manage your time better. And I think you ought to live by schedule. But I'm going to tell you something. There are sometimes God brings appointments into your life that are not on your schedule, but it is God's schedule. There are some times when you need to let God make some spiritual interruptions in your day. You need to let God insert His need of you in your day to where you don't say, well, God, I'm just too busy for you right now. God, right now I don't have time for you to speak to my heart. You'll have to do that on Sunday when I go down by the church. This woman, her daily, everyday chores was to take care of those water pots. I see that at that moment, she realized, I'm going to have to adjust myself. God needs something of me. God needs to make a difference in somebody else's life. And God's about to use me to make the difference. And though I was scheduled to take the water pots back and who knows do what, she said, I've got to change my schedule for the sake of God. See, we become so busy in our lives, we forget our lives are not to be lived for ourselves. Our lives are to be lived for Him. And I'm very much so the kind of person that believes in living by schedule. If you don't know me, I believe if you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, you ought to be there earlier than 8, but always by 8. And if you're supposed to take your lunch break for 10 minutes, you take it for 10 minutes. I happen to believe if you're scheduled to go to work Monday through Friday, you ought to show up Monday through Friday. I think if you tell somebody you're going to be somewhere, you ought to be there. I think if you tell somebody you're going to do something, you ought to do it. And I'm for schedule. I'm for living our lives that way. And we should. But folks, it's almost like sometimes we schedule God right out of our life. Oh, I'm so busy making money, and I'm so busy doing this, and I'm so busy doing that. What about God? Can you let God in there? Let God in your life. So you all know, it always won't be convenient for you to witness to someone. When you meet a lost person, and it's Tuesday, and you say, I've got a window of opportunity here to tell them about Jesus. You say, but I only go soul winning on Thursday. Okay, well, let's just let them go to hell then and get back to your schedule. We can be that way. We can be that way if we're careful. Hey, folks, your family is very... Did you know that your family is more important to God than it is to you? But you won't fix your family by running from God. Your job is to serve God with your family. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. She put service to God above her everyday personal chores. And I'm not saying we just cancel going to work and we cancel doing this and cancel doing that and go serve God. But I am saying those that are people of routine and those that are people of character, you better be careful that you don't schedule God out and you say, God, I'll give you a couple spots in my week where I'll find time for you. No, you better give God all your week. And you be sensitive to God even in the times when you didn't schedule to be sensitive to God. Because God may be leading us. They're called divine appointments. It's a time when God in a unique way comes and God prompts us and God has something for us. I'm glad that lady, when she left her water pots behind, she was saying, listen, I have a daily routine. I come and get water every day at this time. Usually I would be walking back to the city with my water pot, but it is obvious God wants a little something different of me today. I'll leave the daily routine just long enough to run into town and tell everybody what happened to me. Hey, she made a difference. She made a difference. And so, the leaving behind of the water pots, we see that she began to choose others over herself. We see that she sacrificed for the cause of Christ. We see that she took a daily schedule and willing to set it aside just enough to let God lead her to do something miraculous and spectacular for Him. But not only that, I find here that she went alone. And she didn't let the fact that she had to do something for God by herself stop her. She goes to town without a partner. Remember, she's there. She gets saved. She leaves her water pots behind. She takes off for town. And look, she needed to do something for God, but there wasn't a group to help get it done. She left her water pots. And she went out soul winning. Now, I love what we have the privilege of doing around here at our church. I love the fact that we have bus captains and we have assistant bus captains and we have a group of bus workers that help every captain. But just so you all know, in the generation that I was reared, I was the captain, I was the co-captain, I was the worker, I had no help on my bus route at all, zero. I captained the route. If I needed to be the co-captain in my route, I would. I was a worker on my route. I didn't have a group of 8 or 10 people around me helping me get the job done. I went out and filled my bus up by myself. Generation that I was reared, you were the Sunday school teacher. You didn't have an assistant teacher. Did it all yourself. I have people around here, I just can't do this without an assistant teacher. Well, for the last 200 years in Sunday school, they did it without an assistant teacher. One of the only churches in America that do it. And by the way, I think it's one of the brightest and the smartest things we do. I'm not criticizing our own organization, but don't become too dependent on it. But just so you men say, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, my wife doesn't have a job making 60 grand a year. And if my two kids can't be farmed out and rented out, I just can't pay the bills. I grew up in a generation where the men took care of it. That okay? You didn't have everybody and their brother pitching in to take care of you. I also grew up in a generation where they weren't dependent on the government. That'll fall through on you, baby. That thing's going to come back to bite you someday. So, this gal said, well, you know what she could have done? She could have waited around to see if another woman would get saved. She could have said, you know what, I think I'll wait here. And, I'm going to wait here and I'll wait to see if some other woman comes along with water pots. And if the other woman gets born again, then I'll have a partner to go get the job done. Now, I'm for us having partners when we go soul winning. But in this case, she didn't. And she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go ahead and do what's right all by my little bit of self. She launched. Folks, sometimes you must do and stand alone. You know, I don't always have someone to say to me, okay, Jeff, don't back down. Stand for right, no matter what. There are many times I feel like I walk to this pulpit alone. But it is what I'm expected to do. Yes. Some of you that are leaders, if you don't always have somebody to help you, go do what's right to do anyway. Amen. No wonder America is so anemic today. Yes. Everybody, people today can't even go to the washroom by themselves. They have to go in groups. I learned to take care of that when I was about 3. Pretty well have decided since then I want to take care of it myself. What are you going to do? Do what's right. What about a crowd? Do what's right alone. Well, thank God around here you got a crowd of people that want to do right. But if we did not have a crowd that wanted to do right, leave your water pots behind. Go do what you must do. A bunch of people hanging around the well looking to see if somebody else is going to leave their water pots. If you're the only person that leaves your water pot behind and goes out to serve God and lives right, do it alone. Do it alone. Don't wait to join the bus ministry to see if your friend does. Don't decide to take a Sunday school class if your friend will take a Sunday school class. Well, I'll surrender to full-time service if the friends around me do. I was a 16-year-old boy. I was sitting in a tent revival near Indianapolis, Indiana. A man got up and preached for hour and 15 minutes. At the end of the preaching service, he said, "I feel like God may have put his hand upon some young man tonight, and God may be asking that young man to be a preacher." I looked around that tent. There are people all around me, and I was wondering, I wonder who's going to go forward. I wonder who's going to be that one that surrenders his life to preach the gospel. You know something? Had I had to wait for somebody else to move, it wouldn't have happened, because I was the only one that night that went down that aisle. I was the only one that night that surrendered my life to preach the gospel. Nobody else in my youth department. Nobody else in my family. Nobody else in my high school. Nobody else in my city that night walked the aisle and said, "Okay, God, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do." I didn't have to wait for the crowd. I didn't wait for my mama to rub my head or pat my belly. I didn't wait for my wife's approval. I did what was right. I did it all by myself. And I'm not trying to be arrogant about Jeff Owens. I was just taught that if it's right to do, then do it whether anybody else helped you or not. You see, yesterday I was preaching up in Pennsylvania. Preached all day yesterday at a conference. At the end of the conference, I just made one simple statement. I said, "I believe somewhere in this auditorium, God has spoken to someone's heart about the gospel ministry." I said, "If that's so, I want you to raise your hand so this preacher can pray for you." I looked around the auditorium. I was watching everybody. I seen one boy midway back. He looked to his left. He's watching to see if anybody else is going to raise their hand. He looked to the right. He went. Nobody else. And I thought, "Son, you may just have the guts and what it takes to stand in a day and age when not many people will." Huh. She said, "See, we're so insecure today. We just need people to help us do everything." You know, there are not very many. You take, for instance, in the realm of the ministry, there are not very many church planters left. I'm talking about somebody that goes out to somewhere. They're all by themselves. They didn't inherit a building. They don't have thousands and thousands of dollars that they're going to live off of. I'm talking about somebody that pioneers a New Testament church. And America is going to die if we don't pioneer some New Testament churches. You say, "What's the problem?" Everybody is so dependent on each other. Everybody's got to have somebody to hold their hand, and everybody's got to have somebody to pat them on the head, and everybody's got to have somebody to rub their belly, and everybody's got to have somebody that'll agree with them. There's very few churches being planted in America because people will not do what must be done, even if nobody will help them. That's what I see. She left the water pots behind. What happened? In the leaving of the water pot behind, she was saying, I'm going to get my eyes off myself and onto somebody else. In the leaving of those water pots behind, she was willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. In the leaving of the water pot behind, she said, I'll let God interrupt my life. And I'll give God what part of my life, even if it's in the middle of my day, I'm willing to give it to God. She, then we find her leaving alone. She didn't have a backup system. I think a church, a local New Testament church, we are one another's support group. And we're supposed to be one another's support group. But let me say, if nobody else will do right alone. And then finally, let's not say finally, let's wait. That word finally means too much to you. I see also, there's the right word. She left her past with the water pot, so neither one of them weighed her down. I think she left her past behind, along with those water pots. You say, how so? Well, Jesus forgave her. That means he forgave her past. She had a bad past. She'd had 5 husbands, and Jesus happened to call her number on this thing. Say, you have 5 husbands, and the one you're living with right now, you're not even married to him. Can you imagine all the unspoken sin and reputation of her past life? Sounds to me like a party life. Can you imagine her local reputation? When she left those water pots behind, I think it also pictures she left some things from her past behind. She left her past sins and she claimed the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you've been saved recently, let me tell you something. God forgave you of your past. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a little intimidated about doing anything for God. My reputation from back before I was saved, it's pretty bad. All of our reputations were bad. You say, well, Pastor Owens, not me. My reputation was not bad before salvation. Well, I'll tell you this. You had rejected Jesus Christ before salvation. That's the worst thing you can do. That'll send you straight to hell. That's pretty bad. And now your arrogant attitude also shows that you're full of pride. See, she had faith in the forgiveness of God. Can you imagine? This woman, I really believe she's probably pretty much a party hound and known maybe as a local whore. She went out there to get her water from the water pots. That may be one reason why when the disciples showed up, they said, look who Jesus is talking to over there. He knows who she is. I hope nobody gets a picture of it to put it in the newspaper. She got saved. She said, he just forgave me. I'm going to town. Hey, where are you going? I'm not going to party. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And you know what? On the way to town, I'm sure the old devil on the way in said, you know what everybody in town thinks of you. You think they're going to listen to you when you show up and start talking about you took a drink of water and you'll never thirst again. And now you're saved. And now you're going to tell them about forgiveness. You really think they're going to believe that? All the way to town, the old devil probably worked her over. But thank God she left her water pots behind because she was hustling to town to say, I've been born again. I'm changed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. She left the water pots behind, hustled to town, and I believe she left her sins behind as God buried them in the deepest sea. Her water pots may have slowed her down, and so would have her past. Her past wicked life would have slowed her down, so she said, I'm leaving it behind as well. I think the Apostle Paul did the same thing. The Apostle Paul, whose name previous to Paul was Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians, standing and consenting to the death of a deacon. He gets saved and then he goes around telling people he's saved. I'm going to guess the Apostle Paul, I think he left his water pots down at the well. I think the devil worked on this woman. Probably on her way into town saying, oh, people aren't going to listen to you. Oh, you know, everybody knows what kind of a woman you are. Hey, I think she's probably able to turn to the devil and said, get thee behind me, Satan. God forgave me and I'm going to go do something for him. There are some of you, you need to claim God's forgiveness and go do something for the cause of Jesus Christ. The devil wants to steal from us the confidence of today on the altar of the sin of yesterday. And I say to you, God only has sinners to use. So go do something for God. I see also, and I love this, she was pretty productive as a result of this. She was productive. You see, all her efforts paid off. See, her effort of choosing others over herself, it paid off. Choosing to sacrifice and give whatever needed to be given up for the cause of Christ, it paid off. Putting her service to God even above her everyday routine and schedule, it paid off. When she went alone, it paid off. The fact that she left the water pots in her past that would weigh her down, she left them behind. It paid off. Because you find in John chapter 4, verse 30, it says, she ran into town, and when she got into town, she told people about Jesus, and it says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. The people of the city, they left what they were doing to go find the one that she had left her water pots for.
Yes, sir.
Or for which she had left her water pots. In John chapter 4, verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. All sorts of people came down to the church. All sorts of people came to Jesus. All sorts of people said, we're going out there. Why? Where are you going? Haven't you heard? The town whore got saved. She's changed. Verse number 41, it says, and many more believed. What a revival. She got saved, ran into town. The city came out. And then it says, wasn't long till another wave came along. And many more got saved. Why? It says, for the saying of the woman. A chain reaction of productivity is a result of somebody leaving their water pots behind. Maybe what we have studied here this morning has something to do with the success of the Christian. Think about it. This is not the story of the great apostle Paul. This is the story of a woman that had been married five times and was living with the man at the moment that she got saved. This is the woman at the well. If I said to you, let me tell you a story where many of a city were saved and then another great big harvest came in, and it's a story recorded in the Bible. It's used all the time. Oh, let me tell you the story. You would say, oh, there's probably a story of the Apostle Paul. You'd say, this is the story of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. No, it's a story of a five-time married woman that was living with someone the day that she got saved that left her water pots at the well. Say, I know that kind of a magnificent, successful story. This has to be about Abraham, the man of a historic faith. No, it's about the woman at the well. She left her water pots behind and headed to town. Said, I'm going to make a difference. You say, this is probably about the Virgin Mary. No, the woman at the well. It's about John the Beloved. No. It's about the woman at the well. This woman at the well, she left her water pots behind and she said, I'll get my eyes off of myself. I've lived this way long enough. Then she decided, I'll see the positive aspect of what God's given me. She wasn't griping and complaining as she went. Boy, and her life began to change and her attitude began to change. She went in town, started influencing people. What a great work Jesus allowed her to do. I don't think she had any idea that she would influence the entire city with her testimony. She just did what she could. And that's all you and I can do. Just do what we can. What a great work she was allowed to do and God did through her. Folks, let God use you. Now, when we got saved, it was wise if we left our water pots behind. But I say sometimes, I think some people in here, you've gone back and picked up your water pots and you're just all weighed down. You're weighed down with negative and gripes and complaints, and you're spending more time griping and complaining about people and things. If you get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes back on the souls of men, get your eyes back on the prize, get your eyes back on the revival that God has going in our church instead of putting your eyes on yourself. And if you'd put those water pots back down, get back out there, start doing what God wants you to do. You might find a bunch of success in your life. The holdup, you see, is not God. The holdup is always man. It's like a chess game. And it's always your move. God makes his move the moment you've made yours. And he's always looking back at that chessboard at you and saying, your move. Your move. I'm now finished after a couple more comments. I think the water pots pictured something that would have held her back. Somehow, those water pots pictured something that would have hindered her or held her back. Let me ask you a question. Every teenager in here, and some of you that you can't see me, look at me. So you look at your pastor in the face while he's talking to you. You can move yourself just enough around someone to where you can see my face. That's the way this auditorium's set up. Look at me. What's in your water pot that you need to be leaving behind, teenager? What is it? What's in your water pot? What's weighing you down? What's keeping you from going forward for Jesus Christ? What's holding you back? Hey, adult, what's in your water pot? Say, I put one of them down. Well, what you got in the other one? Is it money? Is it a lust for nice things? I don't think there's anything wrong with Christians having nice things. I think Christians having to have nice things, giving God an ultimatum. I will not serve you. I don't have time for you. I've got to pay for my $300,000 home. He paid more than that for the one he gave you in heaven. You owe him. He doesn't owe you anything. Is it a friend? What's in your water pot? Some friendships? Bad friends? You could even have decent friends that are lazy that won't do anything for God. If you hang with them, it'll justify those of you just hanging around the well. Let's just hang around the well. You're supposed to get water out of the well and take it to a dry land that is thirsty for Jesus Christ. There are churches everywhere. All they do is hang around the well. Hang around the well. I want air-conditioned well. I want padded pews in my well. Local New Testament church is not all about what's going on here only. We're supposed to get something here, take it out there, and make a difference in the world. What is it, your sinful past? Maybe you just need to claim the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and go on. Leave the water pot of your past behind and get on and go do something for God. Is it your fear of man? Is it your fear of people's response to you when you attempt to do something? There's some of you in here, you're scared to death of the other Christians because you have drugged your feet. You have fought and kicked against God using you for such a long time. There, you think when you come on board, some Christians are going to say to you, "Oh, what got into you?" Well, just let them know you've submitted to God. Is it your attachment to worldly things, things you know? Are there entertainments? What is it? What's in your life? What's in your water pot? What are you hanging on to? You know, Brother Bush, come up here for a second. There are some of you, this is virtually what you are. Here you are as a Christian. Turn yourself to the side a little bit, that side. There's some of you, God would like to get your water pot away, but you know what? There ain't no way. You're hanging on to it. God said, give me that water pot. Come on, I want to make a difference in your life. You can make a difference. There are people in here right now. That is you exactly. I'm not. No way. This is mine. I'm not giving it to God or anybody else. Let me tell you all something. There are some things, if you don't give them to God, God knows how to get them. Thank you, Brother Bush. Maybe it's a goal. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe God has different goals and dreams for you. I know that when I was a very young man, it was not my goal and dream to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher that has people criticize him all the time. You just don't grow up saying, I either want to be a cowboy or I want to be a policeman or a fireman or a fundamental Baptist preacher. All of which will need a policeman and a fireman to help put out the fire and to save their life someday. My dreams and desires I had to put aside and I left my water pot behind and said, okay, God, whatever you want. What's your water pot? But also, what's in your water pot? Huh? You think I can catch it? Get ready, Brother Renson. I don't want to hit you in the head, buddy. Everybody here, you might want to take a look at see what's in your water pot. Some of you might need to bring your water pot down here to the altar today, get something right with God, walk back to your pew without the water pot. Leave it behind. We don't need to discuss what each other's water pots are. Just leave it behind. The passage of Scripture said, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She turned a city upside down. And God, for some reason, chose to put the words, after salvation, she left her water pots. If you're here today and you've never been saved, why don't you come to the Savior? Let Him save you. Let Him become your Savior. And you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is to those of you that maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that is you, if you're not saved, if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, why don't you come today and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? You come. Who here, and everyone quiet, young people quiet, who here would say, "Pastor Owens, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'm saved. I do need to be born again and I want to get it cared for. Pray for me, Brother Owens. I need to be saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I see a hand." Someone else, you say, "I need to be saved." God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, "I'm not born again. I need Christ as Savior." I see another hand. Who else? You say, "I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. That's what I need." So you know, salvation is a free gift paid for by another in full. That's Jesus Christ. Anyone else that would join these that have already raised their hand, say, "I need to be saved." Here's what you do. Those of you that raised your hand and said, "I need to be saved," or those of you that should have raised your hand and you did not, in a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform with me will step down to the lower level. They'll post themselves at the front of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat, walk up to one of the men. They'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There will be people that will be down front. They have Bibles. They know exactly what to do to help someone be born again. If you're not saved in a moment, you come. Question for you. What's in your water pot? Think about it. Do you have a water pot that you're withholding? Is there somebody here that would say, "Brother Owens, I understand what the Lord's saying with this water pot. I see it. And God has spoken to me about my water pots." Would you raise your hand? God's spoken to me. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Maybe you need the altar for a moment. There's some of you, you used to have your eyes on others, but you have your eyes on you and your water pots, and you've developed a self-centered stinginess. Boy, you have so much spiritual energy and insight. All you can see is all the negative. I think when people get their eyes on others, they suddenly have a different view of even the hardships of life. I'll ask. In a moment, we're going to stand. When we do, if you need this altar, you come right away. Don't let the balcony stop you. Don't let a friend stop you. If you need to come alone, you come alone. Somebody needs to mentally come up here and put your water pot down, get it right with God, and walk away without the water pot. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our